I am Daniel Morey Schwinn.
And how else do you want to be known?
Let's see. That's always the big question. How do you want to be known? And so I would say I am a fusion child, and what that really means to me, from the Hawaiian Islands, they would call me a hapahale, which is someone that is mixed, that has Asian ancestry, but also my background is English, Irish, and German.
And the Asian part?
Japanese.
Your mom?
Yes, my mother. Mm-hmm.
And how do you identify?
Well, I would say that I identify for the last maybe 10 years, I came across, well, actually there was a conversation that I was producing a documentary with a colleague, and it's on the spirit of Taiko. So it's Taiko drumming, Japanese. And I heard this conversation going on with my colleague producer, and I just heard this phrase, hapa. And I was saying, what were you saying to him? Because she was speaking to him in Japanese, and she was saying, oh, well, that's, you're a mixed person, hapa. And I was, this is the first time I had heard the word. And then I started to do the research, and it was sort of like just clicked. And I said, oh, yeah, that's who I am. I'm an American hapa.
And do you still identify as hapa?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, what do you think of labels?
Okay.
Do you want me to name some labels first, and you can tell me what your thoughts are when you hear them?
Sure.
Let's start with half Japanese.
I grew up with that identity as being half Japanese. So my generation, which is baby boomer generation, I was really educated or nurtured to look beyond your ethnic identity. You know, I'm an American, and that's well and good, you know, theoretically, ideologically, but in reality, the walls still exist.
Mixed blood? Did you ever identify with mixed blood?
Just poetically, you know, mongrel, half-breed. Those are some of the terms. Of course, in a derogatory kind of a way, but mixed blood itself, not really. We all bleed red.
Amerasian,
yeah, it's another phase of identity. So, yes, let's see, Amerasian, that probably, I think the two identities were like Euro-Asian and Amerasian. So I think that was like in the 80s that they came about, and sure, I identified.
What was the transition from Amerasian to Hapa for you? Why would you identify more with Hapa? Or labeling yourself as hapa?
Maybe it's really the poetics. And I know that the debate continues because hapa is actually a Hawaiian, comes out of the Hawaiian language. And so in terms of the sovereignty movement among Hawaiians, they don't like the idea of taking a word out of their language and using it. So I know that the debate still continues, but, you know, here we are as mixed people. And so it's sort of like this struggle for who are we? I just saw this film called Beautiful Country, and it was about a Vietnamese child born of an American father in Vietnam. And I think they called him boy die or something like that, which are like less than dust. So there's another label for you.
And mixed heritage?
Sure, mixed heritage. I just feel like, I almost feel like a screen, and you know, so you can project all these different titles, and I fall under all those categories.
They're using mixed heritage now more than mixed blood or something, I think.
Is it also, let's see, Asian of mixed heritage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's, yeah.
And how do others see you now?
Mm. I think it really depends on what circle I'm in. You know, at times, my ethnicity does not, you know, it doesn't fit into the equation, and I'm just looked on as, you know, just another person of the human race. I'm producing a weekly television program, so it's all about, it's entitled Pacific Fusion, so it's really about the fusion of Asian culture in America. So I wear that hat. I mean, that's, you know, which is, I am an Asian American Hapa boy.
And as you were growing up, how was that how was your identification process like? When you were growing up, did you automatically know you were Hapa? Or how is it for you to find your own cultural identity?
Well, when I was growing up, I was a Chink. I was a Jap. I was a Gook. So there were all these labels thrown my way because I looked different than everyone else, even though I was living in California at the time. But, you know, that was like in the 50s and 60s. So, you know, that's, so anyway, so my process is, I was, like I said, I was really nurtured to be colorblind. And I think that was the big thing. But as I heard one speaker say, you know, why would you want to be blind? And that, you know, we have to accept our ethnicity and our reality, you know, in terms of how we grew up. So anyway.
And how did you, when, do you remember a time when you finally realized, like, I am these parts and this is who I am and it's a good thing?
I would say probably within the last 10 years, I just really started identifying more as a Hapa. It hasn't been a big part. I mean, I didn't really grow up where it was such a big emphasis playing the race card. You know, like, hey, this is who I am. So it was really in the last 10 years.
Do you see that more now? People are really connecting with their cultural identity more than maybe when you're growing up? And talk about that evolution.
Yes, I would say today that there's a greater awareness and also an appreciation for a person's roots. And you know, it's when you're, you know, America's the great melting pot, and supposedly as you're doing the whole melting pot, it's not such a great emphasis. I mean, you know, you don't want to put a tremendous amount of emphasis on it because supposedly it segregates and builds walls. But I think as far as Asian, just the Asian roots, I think there was a time period where African Americans or blacks would, you know, they were proud. I mean, they came into their own in terms of their identity. And I think what I see presently is, as far as Asians, Asian Americans, you know, they're taking that power as well. I mean, I believe that's what's happening now.
And describe not belonging culturally for you.
not belonging culturally, meaning what culture are we talking about? Yeah, well, okay, not belonging culturally. I mean, that's true because on one end, you're not really accepted as white. And on the other end, you're not really accepted as, you know, Asian or, you know, just so we're sort of in this in between because we're all mixed up.
And how did that feel for you growing up? Did you struggle with that at all? Just being not good enough for this or not good enough for that and not enough, just not enough?
Like I say, I didn't feel as though that was a great emphasis in my life. I guess maybe we're in greater denial, or maybe we didn't use it as a handicap, or at least my parents didn't want me to feel handicapped with that identity. You know, I was just American-born kid, and that's who I am. And yeah, but they didn't we didn't have the walls or the, you know, where we said, okay, you're Japanese American kid or something like that.
What does it mean and how can it be described when that sentence comes out, who am I to myself?
Oh, wait, could you repeat that again?
When you hear that, the phrase, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Or you say that to yourself, what does that mean? What does that question mean? And also, how can that be described? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I mean, it does make sense. It really depends on how you're answering that question. Because if you're a philosophy major, then you would be delving into, you know, who are you in terms of an existence? You're not your race or ethnicity. I mean, it gets all the way down to this soul level, and even whether or not there is a soul. And so that question really launches me off into a whole philosophical world. And I find that race has really, or ethnicity has really little to do with answering that question. I can talk about how, what I do in life, but that's not necessarily who I am.
And what's the question?
Who am I?
How did you, let's see, we kind of talked about this, but I think I should ask it anyway. How did you experience differences growing up?
Differences, you mean among my peers?
In general, differences, because you were different. And you said that you didn't dwell on the race mm-hmm. thing, but you also said that you were called Chink and Gook. And
yeah, right.
So how did you experience differences?
Well, I mean, in the schoolyard, you know, you got that whole schoolyard world, and, you know, then you had kids that were racist, and, you know, and they would call you the names. So I guess it was really the struggle to see myself beyond how they were labeling me. And I knew it was all mean and bullyish on their part. So that's how I really dealt with it. I didn't dwell on it. And I don't know if that was really denial on my part, or, you know, it was just a survival instinct just to get beyond it.
Maybe you didn't want it to be such an issue that people were pointing out. So you were like, this is not going to be an issue. We're going to just...
Yes. Yeah, right. I mean, I remember because I was like maybe in the second or third grade, and I was living in Indiana at the time. I mean, middle America there. And I was the only Asian kid in the school. So, well, the half-breed kid anyway.
What lessons have you learned throughout the years that you could teach others who are also emerging with their identities?
God, that's a good question. I don't know what lessons or what could I pass on. I think it's really important to appreciate your past, but at the same time, we have to find a way to get beyond it. Well, when I say beyond it, I'm just really talking about you can only go so far with, you know, I am a proud Asian American or Amerasian, Eurasian. But then once you get beyond that, I mean, you have to integrate that in your self-identity because it's that struggle for your own self-esteem that you do belong, that you're not invisible. And of course, you know, there might be people that will always consider you to be a mongrel and hate you in today's world. But it is important to be at peace with who you are and your roots, and then build yourself from there. That's beyond, you know, ethnicity or race.
And probably my last question is, would you ever consider yourself as a bridge walker?
A bridge walker? Well, you're going to have to define that for me.
I've used that. Just to be able to walk between worlds, kind of. Like, I belong in the white world, and then I can also maneuver in certain Asian circles. And then also, where I really feel at home is the Hapa or the multiracial identity. And so it's like navigating around, and you can really fit in different places.
The answer is yes, I do. I can see myself as, in your definition of a bridge walker, I do go into these different worlds and I can be accepted. The funny thing is, my last name is Schwinn. And so when I would be talking to people on the telephone and then I would arrive, they would never expect the Schwinn. I mean, you know, you're Daniel Schwinn, but then I'm also Daniel Morey Schwinn. So in the world of the Asian American television and media world that I'm in, you know, people do know me as Daniel Morey. And then on the Schwinn part, it's like the business end. Somehow I'm like more acceptable. So yeah, it's like I can wear different hats and I can, I guess, what's the phrase? I guess passing. I'm able to pass in these different worlds.
And that's a good thing sometimes. Most of the time. Okay, I think that's all my questions. Do you want to add anything?
I think it's a great project. So, no, I think other than that, I think this is really good.
Go ahead.
Just tell me about this segment that you're going to be for. Just tell me about
this. Okay, before I do that, I want you to introduce yourself again. And maybe say how old you are, if you don't mind sharing.
I am Daniel Morey Schwinn, and I'm 52 years old.